Welcome to the latest episode of The Athletic's Pug and Cop Boxing Show, everyone. This is Lance Pugmire. I'm joined, as always, by my colleague Mike Coppinger. Today, we are also joined by a special guest, WBC 154-pound champion Jermell Charlo, who meets Jason Rosario in the nightcap of a Showtime pay-per-view doubleheader that opens with his twin middleweight champion Jermell defending his WBC belt against Sergey Derevchenko. Hey, if you're not subscribing to The Athletic yet, why not? Join us for a $1 monthly fee at theathletic.com/pugandcop. Let's get to it. We're so lucky to be joined today by Jermell Charlo, proud WBC 154-pound world champion, getting ready to chase two more of those belts Saturday night on a Showtime doubleheader facing Jason Rosario. Jermell, thank you so much for joining us. How are you feeling about this matchup?
You know, this is a intriguing matchup because, you know, you got a guy that come in, he's rough, he's strong, you know, got heavy hands. I believe my skills are a higherly set than his. Training camp has been different. You know, we practice on a lot of different things and, you know, just stay focused. You know, like when somebody says stay focused, it's just like, you know, they don't really break into what that really means. It's just so many things have to, you know, make changes. And the more comfortable you get throughout the sacrifices you make, you know, and you able to accomplish them, it's like, you know, you achieve being focused. So I feel like, you know, this is a good fight for me. I'm like highly excited.
No doubt about it. And I think the, you know, the opportunity for you is right there for you. Having followed your career, the thing that has always, amazed me about you is just how deep your career is. You know, it's so rich. You've been through such adversity. You've taken a loss. You've come back from that. You've had some stuff away from the ring that you've conquered. And, you know, you and your brother have pushed yourselves to become these champions. And now you get the world to really to see this. Can you talk about how, you know, life's experiences really make you feel as if you deserve to be the champion that you're elevating to at this point?
Yeah. I mean, of course, like I can definitely say certain things like, you know, just coming up, just then, but always beneath the guy that was always at the top. And, you know, knowing that I always wanted my chance and my opportunities through that process and building my name and building the brand that, you know, we encounter certain things. And when we would, you know, try to be us more outspoken and people didn't like it and they disagree with it, or, you know, and I just have to say, forget what they think or feel and just keep on going. And now, with that being said, people kind of really like, okay, you know what, I could take a liking into him just a little bit. You know, they give you a chance. But, you know, a warrior experience that I went through is when I lost, you know, and to come back and win the belt back, but by knockout, kind of made it like superior and, you know, stood in the paint, stood there and fought just to get what I wanted and got what I wanted. I was entertaining at it. And so, you know, I think that woke a lot of people up like, you know what, I'm really starting to like these guys. But, you know, it's still more of that. You got to keep proving. Everybody wanted you to prove something to them, you know, in some type of way, you know, however they feel, it not always get accomplished. But, you know, even through little small setbacks and outside of boxing, you know, I had a case and I had to fight that. And yeah, every man, some men go through stuff like that. And I had a party for my birthday and it kicked somebody out. And they say I choked him and beat him up. Like, you know, that major just things all about your image and changing things. And then I said, you know what, I ain't did nothing wrong. You know, stick by my side, stayed down with what I believed and went to trial. You know, some people, yeah, just took the little charge, went to trial and got acquitted. Like, those are the things, you know, as a, you know, I grew through so many of these type of things. You know, like even when I was a young 19-year-old, I had a child at 19 during the weigh-ins, you know, like, God, wow, damn, like, this shit was, it was just so much, you know, like, damn, how you supposed to be, enjoy your child and have a fight, you know, just so many different things throughout my career that I have to face and fight through. And, you know, I went through the turmoil and the adversity and, you know, I guess we became the likable kid, but not still the dislikable kid. But at the end of the day, like I was before, a guy that didn't give a damn what somebody thought or said about us, just keep on pushing for what I want. And like, I got a better life than a lot of boxers. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Jermell, look, this is your first pay-per-view, you and your brother. And I know there's a lot more demands, right? You have to do more media obligations. There's more commercials. What has that been like for you? And do you see yourself doing a lot more pay-per-views in the future?
I mean, it's not necessarily a lot more. It's expected. It wasn't too bad. People, you know, weekly, we had one day out of the week. Everything is a little different now, you know. Like, I feel like we entered a new era for the world and the sport of boxing with the pandemic and with the distancing. And I feel like it plays a major effect in how I feel about this. But maybe one day we'll get back to the old way of pay-per-views and media days and tour traveling for the press conference tours and just so many different things were different. But you know, some type of way, Al, he knows how to make it work, and he know how to make this stage big for you, and that's what he did for us. You know, if folks wasn't watching boxing, and now they get the chance to watch it pay-per-view, you know, I don't know what else to do to be different than to get in there and just fight, be a warrior, be smart, protect myself, and come out with a smile. You know what I mean? With all the belts, got the Ring magazine belt, getting ready to put on the line. Like, it's just so many different things, you know. I felt like it's back in the days for me whenever it was like no crowd. I felt like, you know, whenever you was just coming up in the game, you had to be on your A game and really like zoom in and just focus on your opponent. And, you know, before, you know, in Vegas and New York and different places, you can always, you know, take some time off and just go downstairs and just throw some dice and just hang out for a little bit and then go work out. And this time is completely different. It's a little bit harder, you know. We don't got the gyms that we had. We don't got the access to certain things, but it's not, you know, it's whatever, dog.
Yeah, and you know, I think what's interesting is like being a twin brother. You're constantly compared to Jermall and vice versa, and I think it can be unfair at times, right? You're both excellent talent in your own right, and you both know on your own shine, of course. Even though you guys are twins. How important was it to you to be the last fight, to be the main event of this doubleheader?
I just feel like it was important because I'm able to be the main event. I think that's pretty big for me in my career. With my brother still being on the show, it does feel like it's our show. So it's not like, oh, I'm so astounded by being the main event on pay-per-view. One day that'll get there, hopefully. But, you know, like you said, we are our own men. We got our own styles. And I feel like my brother, you know, we both got tough fights, so it's equal.
You know, in a perfect world, Jermell, going forward, do you see yourself in a perfect world just having your own show? Like you and Jermell have your own big shows?
Yeah, I had a big show when I fought Tony, you know, that was a big show for me, you know, and I fought so many events in it. Just, you know, I guess I felt like that those shows are a little bit bigger than this one, honestly. But you know, the networks make a big difference. Different things change, and you know, you could just feel the love. You know what I'm saying? And then whenever you come down a certain networks, you could feel it, like feeling like, hey, something is rugged, something is iffy, something is, you know, we got to make it out this. You know, like when you got your back against the wall, that's kind of this feeling right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never know what to expect from anybody that's around, any judges, anything. You know, I guess every time I get this little feeling, every time I come to the East Coast, but I'm not nothing wrong with the East Coast, but damn, you know, people different, everything is different. So, you know, like being able to be isolated away and not have to worry about anything and just get in there and do what I do, that's like major.
Absolutely. When we were talking last week, Jermell, I know you said something about how when this whole thing started with you and Jermall, it seemed like there was, you know, the marketing minds were kind of behind it. But clearly it's way more than that. It's truly a remarkable story that I think will resonate and connect. How interested are you in seeing how well this pay-per-view does? How much does that mean to you?
I try to really take my mind off of it because, that my job is to get in there and fight. I'm guaranteed what I'm guaranteed. I know what I'm, you know, I'm satisfied and I'm happy. You know, but seeing the numbers and seeing what's growing and seeing who's watching, who's buying, who's supporting, you know, all that matters. But it's not like my biggest, you know, concern at the moment. You know, I know right now people don't got nothing else to do. You can't go to the fights. I mean, we you know, you know, I don't make the numbers up of how much it should be, and I don't I don't tell the people to subscribe, you know, like, you know, it's different. You know, I just can get in there and not too much focus on that.
Will you focus on Jermall's fight? How much attention will you give that?
I like it. I'm excited about my brother getting in there and finding somebody with a bigger name. I feel like my brother's the older brother, but I'm really the older brother in the boxing world because I started first and I had some different fights. I had a lot of, you know, like opposition that was a lot tougher, you know, and so, you know, that also separates me from different people in the game.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at odds, Jermell, you're a pretty big favorite over Rosario, and I think deservedly so. You know, you proved it last fight against Tony Harrison with that knockout. Jermall is only a slight favorite over Derevianchenko. Do you think that's the toughest fight of his career?
I don't think the favorites and stuff like that matters to us. It never did. We don't bet on ourselves. I don't even know who betting, you know, but just the odds and the favors and stuff, I guess that's what those people that never boxed before, never even been in the ring, styles make fights. And if they haven't seen my brother before, they're going to see him Saturday.
No doubt. I mean, Jermall's, you know, I expect Jermall to win. And I know Derevianchenko, who has a hard charging style, he just should be perfect,
yeah,
right?
But Jermall, my brother likes to counter. Great feet. He's a big puncher. He can box. He can step around, you know, do a lot of different things.
Right. But do you think this could be the toughest challenge he's had yet? I'm not saying he's going to struggle, but just maybe tougher than some of his other fights.
I mean,
at middleweight?
Who really knows? I don't really see. I think this actually gonna be an easier fight for my brother. Easier than it seems. I don't think the Pacheco's met someone with the elusive power that my brother really, really, really carries on each hand. And it's plus the movement, plus the, you know, the coming forward, the stockiness. It's a little bit different. My brother's growing every time.
Yes. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I don't know how he makes 160.
He's big as hell.
For you, Jermell, I mean, obviously we talked about this as well. I mean, the 154-pound division is there to ensure, you know, a series of big fights for you with victory on Saturday night. How excited are you about, you know, just the fact that it's not just this big fight that's before you, it's so many others that are there to follow?
That's what I like so much about this weight division, because it's like, so much money involved, so much money to be made. You know, we're a bunch of warriors in the weight division, and you could lose to this guy, come back and beat this guy, beat that guy, this guy beat that guy. It's just like, it's you know, the top 10 are crowns. Like, everybody is possibly a champion or could be a champion. So every fight, you got to go in there with the fucking crazy mindset, you know, like, you know, you got to go eat. Like, it's time to go fuck something up, because, you know, you want to carry your legacy and then your pay and then all this other stuff is involved. And when you make it out these fights, it's a bigger accomplishment than just winning the title and winning the belt. You know, you set up your future plans and stuff for the next fight. So every fight is like a challenge and every fight is like a tournament. It's like, it's big to me, and I want to continue to stay at the top and win and just keep winning.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I know your time is short. We really appreciate you joining us today. Take care of business Saturday night, and we'll talk to you soon, Jermell.
Appreciate it. Thank you all for having me.
Now let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back with the rest of the show. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually, we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or, sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. Or, I've had way too much whiskey, I apologize. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/boxing and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/boxing today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/boxing. Well, Mike, that was very generous of Jermell to join us on Fight Week. Really some interesting things to say. I mean, I think this is a guy that seizes his moment.
Yeah, I thought Jermell definitely did just that in that rematch against Tony Harrison. He was enraged by the decision in the first fight, and he showed it in the ring in the second fight, fighting with fire. You know, a lot of people thought he was down on the scorecards, and he scored an emphatic knockout late in the fight. Great performance. He's going to have to do the same thing, Lance, against Jason Rosario. Rosario is a big, strong junior middleweight. He knocked out Julian Williams back in January, and Jermell Charlo is going to have to box a little more than he's used to, I think, because I don't think you're going to be able to out-muscle Rosario on the inside.
No, absolutely not. And having some conversations with Jermell's trainer, Derek James, he says, look, Jermell's power is the type that is going to wear you down and beat you down over time, as it kind of did with Tony Harrison, Mike. I mean, I know Jermell had some difficulties through that fight. I talked to a matchmaker for a story that ran this week, and he was saying he was convinced that Tony Harrison won at least 7 of the first 10 rounds in that fight until Jermell, you know, was just so precise and dominant in landing the defining punches that it ended that fight in the 11th round. You know, Jermell Charlo, to me, I think, you know, as he's moving into this rarefied air of headlining a pay-per-view, Mike, his personality is now going to become more of a focus. And I mean, this is a guy, we know him very well. To me, he's a very likable guy. And I'm not sure that personality always resonates or is conveyed as it should be when he's doing like some of these YouTube interviews or some of these other interviews where he comes off a little bit angry. To me, he's not an angry guy. He's a guy who's, you know, paid the dues to become who he has in this sport. And I hope that that is showcased and continues to be the way that people will see him, because he is such a talent.
Yeah, Lance, that's very fair to say. I do think he gets a bad rap. We know he's an ornery type, but we heard how calm he was today. And, you know, he's always been great with you and I. I've always enjoyed our time with him. I hope he can get where he wants to be. I know him and Jermall badly wants to be stars. They certainly have the skills and the looks and the personality to do so. They just need that push. And I wonder how many pay-per-view buys they're really going to get this Saturday. I know you asked him earlier. I think it could be hard to get the proper amount of buys to really get to that next level. But they're both in tough fights. And like we mentioned, I think Jermall's in a much tougher fight. You know, Rosario's good, but Derevyanchenko's more battle-tested. And, you know, I'm really curious to see what happens with Charlo and Derevyanchenko. Charlo's going to have to be on his A-game. But I do expect both Charlos to win. And convincingly. And I think they both could score knockouts.
It's, you know, that would be something, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be, I think that would be the dream come true for the handlers of the Charlos. But like you said, I mean, you're absolutely right. And we've seen Sergey Derevyanchenko fight, especially the last one against Gennady Golovkin, Mike. And this guy is a force to be reckoned with. I mean, after round one, when he got knocked down, I'm telling you what, I mean, you could easily make the case, Mike, am I wrong? He was like the second best middleweight behind Canelo from what we saw from that point forward.
Yeah, Charlo is a hell of a fighter. You know, competition has been questionable at middleweight. You're talking about the likes of Dennis Hogan, Brandon Adams, Jorge Highlands. Yeah. Junior middleweight resume was a lot better, right? Julian Williams, Austin Trout. And Derevyanchenko is light years better than anybody Charlo's faced at middleweight. So this is a real test for him. This is a guy in Sergey Derevyanchenko who pushed Triple G and Daniel Jacobs to the limit. And this is a true bona fide test. I know we're really excited for this fight.
I absolutely am. And I mean, we've talked about this before on the show. I think it should have been the nightcap. But I understand why you give it to Jermell, because he is fighting for the three belts. And that division is so loaded. Why not, you know, say, look, whoever emerges from this fight is going to be the quote unquote king of the division right now, that is going to be dealing with all comers moving forward.
Right. So, you know, two great fights on this pay-per-view card. Also a good undercard, I think, especially that fight, an 118-pound title fight between John Real Casimero of the Philippines against Duke Micah. Casimero was originally set to fight Naoya Inoue in April on a Top Rank ESPN card, and then they were looking to reschedule it for the fall. It fell apart. Now we get Casimiro against Micah. Micah's not really known to boxing fans, but this is a tough fighter from Ghana. And Casimiro, while a little bit limited, he's athletic and he can really punch. I think that's got to be easily the best undercard fight of the night.
Absolutely. Now, have you been reviewing film of Duke Micah?
Not too much. Right? I'm going to before Saturday, though.
I mean, you're a better man than me, Mike, if you have. Come on.
No, Duke Micah, listen, Duke Micah's with Keith Connolly, and Keith Connolly's been talking him up. He was a 2012 Olympian, and he's a pretty good fighter, and a lot of the PBC guys are high on him, too. So I think that's a real fight. This is the baby-faced Terminator. I mean, with a name like that, he's got to be able to fight, right, Lance?
All right, good stuff.
And we know these guys from Ghana are always tough, so I'm excited for that one. It's 118 pounds. Those guys can always fight. And then we have the other undercard fight I'm looking forward to, more so just the fighter, is Luis Neri, who I think is one of the best talents in the sport, fighting Aaron Alameda in another rescheduled fight. This is at 122 pounds, and Neri's problems at the scale have been well documented. This guy's missed weight several times now, and he's got to get on track.
The thing is, Mike, I mean, I just want to see this guy get in the ring and be in the ring consistently, right? Because we all see what a talent he is. We're going to see what a talent he is on Saturday night against Alameda. Luis Neri, I mean, everything that is there before him. I mean, you're talking about when you look at the potential fights that can be made with this guy, they're all sensational, right? You've got MJ, who has two belts. You've got a possible... right, future showdown with it. You could see him maybe going against Inouye, and his the voices that he's had in his ear, including Freddie Roach, have been very impressive. This guy knows what he's doing. He's a very impressive specimen, and stay in control of your body and continue to get in the ring, please.
Yeah, Neri has a great story. He battled drug addiction in Mexico. Comes from a very tough upbringing. I spent some time with him last year when he was getting ready for that fight against Manuel Rodriguez on the Wilder Ortiz 2 undercard that fell apart when he missed weight again. And that was when he was training with Freddie Roach. I watched him spar like 10 rounds. He sparred without headgear, which is a Mike Tyson throwback. And pretty much kicked his opponent's ass in the ring at the wild card. But now he's with Eddie Reynoso training in San Diego at Canelo Alvarez's gym, the reigning trainer of the year. And look, I think you and I both know that Eddie Reynoso is a far bigger disciplinarian than Freddie Roach. Mm-hmm. So this guy is going to make weight, I think. He has to. I don't think Eddie Reynoso is going to accept anything less.
He's got Luis Neri and Andy Ruiz Jr. in the same gym, huh? What a task.
Yeah, so look, I think it's a good card. I know you mentioned that you don't love the price. I know a lot of people agree with you on the $75 price point. I think if you're a boxing fan, you should definitely buy the pay-per-view if you can afford it. These are tough times. But I also understand your point, Lance, that this is probably not the ideal price point that we were expecting, right?
Yeah, exactly. I've taken some heat about saying that, but the bottom line is I'm actually speaking from the standpoint of the less fortunate, people who have lost their jobs, people who are worried about COVID-19. And let's be honest, a lot of times pay-per-views are house parties, and it's hard to, justify everyone getting together in the same home for a pay-per-view party right now. But look, I mean, Showtime is going to say what they're going to say about we're giving you a stacked card with, six great fights with both of the Charlo brothers defending their belts. And this is kind of like the price of doing business. It's fine to say that, but I would have just hoped for a better way, and like ESPN was able to pull something off coming up in October where we've got Vasily Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez on regular ESPN, which is a nice, whether it's a nice gesture or just the best way to do their business, at least it spares the fans the expense at a time when right now, I think everyone's kind of like keeping their bucks close to their vest, so to speak.
Yeah. And look, and it's all, not just that, right? It's the opportunity cost we have here. That's missing out on two fights in Charlo Derevianchenko and Charlo versus Rosario that could probably do big ratings on Showtime or Fox on their own. So there's that opportunity cost. But look, you and I understand that these fighters are not taking haircuts This is a pandemic. There's no fans. It's not a perfect world, but yeah, we do wish it was cheaper. We do wish it was on Showtime or Fox, but nonetheless, we're going to watch it. And you know, we hope fans watch it too. We want it to do well. You know, we have a lot, we have more, you know, we had a Lubin Gachet, speaking of ratings, on this past Saturday on Showtime. I think the peak block average was 150,000, which is, you know, not encouraging. But Lubin Gachet wasn't a great matchup on paper. It didn't deliver in the ring, to say the least.
Oh my gosh.
Some stiff competition. It went against Kobe Covington, Tyron Woodley on UFC. That was a big fight for them. You know, those are two guys with big followings. Covington's a lightning rod. And I was told that did over 1 million unique views on ESPN+.
Wow.
And then, not to mention, Showtime also had tough sledding going against the NBA Eastern Conference Finals and the Stanley Cup Final. And I wonder how that's going to, the same factors are going to play into Saturday's pay-per-view offering. They're going against a way bigger UFC pay-per-view in UFC 253, headlines by Israel Stylebender Adesanya against Paulo Costa. And then you also have, again, the NBA Conference Finals and the Stanley Cup Final. So this is tough sledding. And I think the question, Lance, for me, and I think you can answer this better as someone who's covered both sports thoroughly, is how much crossover is there between boxing and MMA fans?
There's absolutely some, but it's not, I mean, look, boxing fans are boxing fans. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's a little bit of an older crowd. That older crowd doesn't necessarily like UFC. We know that the younger audience is there, and the younger audience can definitely be pulled into boxing action, no doubt about it. But it's not, you know, it's not the same exact audience. There is a difference in the groups. So I think the Charlo brothers will have an opportunity to, you know, kind of see, you know, exactly how big that boxing crowd is, because this is going to be the hardcore of the hardcore, as you laid out, Mike. I mean, because as a mainstream sports fan who has interest in combat sports, I don't think there's any issue in saying, like, especially when you're talking about the October showdown between Khabib Nurmagomedov stepping into the octagon against Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz, that's going to be something that's going to favor the UFC. And honestly, Adesanya is becoming such a transcendent fighter himself. I could see, you know, obviously, I think that you'll have way more eyeballs on that fight as well, just because of the personalities involved. Boxing will have its day, but I don't think it's going to be this month or next month.
Well, hopefully it's sooner than later. Something has to change. And again, we understand that these are tough times and boxing has a different pay structure than the UFC, where the fighters in boxing are probably making 80% of the revenues compared to just 20% in the UFC. Nonetheless, though, we need a better model. And we're excited. We're getting good fights on Saturday. But
it was rough. Let's hope that it's not, like you said, let's hope it's not what it was. And I'm sure it won't. On last Saturday with Lubin and Gachet. I mean, that was really, really rough to watch, Mike. Very, very difficult. I think I almost nodded off a couple times. And I know you had a conversation, if I'm not mistaken, with Dana White afterward about just how well he did in the ratings that day.
Well, we didn't talk about his ratings much. I just asked him what he thought about going head to head with two consecutive pay-per-views against Showtime and the PBC. You know, not just this week, but October 24th, he has a big fight between Khabib Nurmagomedov and Justin Gaethje, going head to head with the Gervonta Davis Leo Santa Cruz show. And that's October 24th. And Dana White told me, and I quote, "I don't want to comment. That's like the toughest kid in school picking on the biggest nerd. My daughter is 14 years old and her Instagram is private and she does more viewership than Showtime Boxing."
I love how he started it by saying, "I don't want to comment," and then delivers one of the all-time golden quotes.
Yeah,
that's great stuff.
Him and Bob Arum definitely have a knack for those zingers.
Well, that's so good stuff. Look, let's be honest, Mike. I mean, whatever the cross audience is between UFC and boxing, it's good that these guys do go back and forth and do throw daggers at each other. Time and again, to me, it just adds spice and entertainment to the whole situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it fun, you know? I know sometimes people get mad at comments like this, but I think, you know, we can't take this stuff too seriously. This is sports entertainment, really. As Vince McMahon would say, sports entertainment. So these guys are entertainers first. We wouldn't be covering it if it wasn't entertainment. But, you know, speaking of something that's not fun, we have the Canelo Alvarez saga ongoing, and I'm hearing there's some progress, Lance. There was apparently a 10-hour mediation session yesterday between Golden Boy and DAZN, and I think Canelo might have been involved too, trying to iron things out right now. So there is some progress and optimism there. We hope things can get worked out soon. There's some hope that Canelo can fight on DAZN before 2020 is out, possibly against Billy Joe Saunders or Callum Smith. But I think there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, I saw that Canelo posted a photo from a high rise in Los Angeles. So I guess that's what he must have been involved in. That is good news, Mike. I mean, look, let's be honest. That I think all sides, at least at some point, have expressed the hope that there could be a way to sort this all out. And if this is the way moving forward, then so be it. We know that there. What did you make of, Mike? And I don't know how much there is to this or not, but the talk that the WBC is going to be scheduling it was a purse bid, right, for Canelo's fight against the Turkish fighter.
Yeah, I think it's more that. I think it's more bullshit from Mauricio Sulaiman and the WBC. I mean, Canelo is not fighting Avni Yildirim, nor does anyone want to see that fight. Nor is DAZN going to approve that fight.
Right.
Especially with all the legal entanglements, I've heard people opine on Twitter that maybe someone like Al Haymon or someone else can come in and buy the rights to the fight and try to force it through. I don't see that happening. I think that'll be a gigantic legal mess. And for a fight that no one wants to see. So look, the WBC is free in this wild, wild west of boxing to try to jump in and get the biggest star in a sports fight for their belts. But I don't think it has any legs.
One of the fights that everyone, I think, wants to see is Lomachenko versus Teofimo Lopez. Mike, and I had the pleasure to speak to Loma on a Zoom call yesterday, him and his manager, Igis Klimas. And Loma was quite entertaining. I mean, I thought he was going to be more pissed off, frankly, about the things that Lopez and his father have said about him, calling him a diva, calling him old, and saying that he's going to get knocked out. But he said, look, those guys are doing a good job promoting the fight. And then he added, he said, you know, I don't speak perfect English anyway, so a lot of it I can't even understand. But he was really dug in, and I thought this was the most encouraging thing, I think, for all fight fans. He was really dug in on the idea of how excited he is and energized, not just for this fight, but the fact that you have so much talent coming into the lightweight division. When you talk about the possible movement up there of Gervonta Davis and Miguel Burchell and the winner of Ryan Garcia and Luke Campbell, this is a guy who's pumped up, and he says, you know, like, look, you can, and all of these guys can think that I'm old and think that I'm too aged now, but he's like, I'm ready to stand as the king of this division for quite a while. So enjoy that. That's on The Athletic right now if you want to check out my Q&A with Loma. But that's going to be a hell of a fight. And Mike, I know you've been plugged in on some of these other fights that are coming our way. What can you tell us?
Yeah, Lance, we have November 7th, we have a fight being finalized between Devin Haney and New York's Gamboa. That's a main event on DAZN in the U.S. No site yet. As we know, we had Haney and Gary Russell Jr. going back and forth, and I'm told that Russell was offered $1.5 million with a rematch clause, and he turned it down. Jeez. And so they moved ahead with Gamboa. I know people don't really want to see Haney fight Gamboa, but you know, Haney is coming off shoulder surgery. I think that a lot of guys are probably tied up right now at lightweight. You know, we just talked about Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez. We have Ryan Campbell fighting we have Ryan Garcia fighting Luke Campbell later this year. And there's really not that many guys available. I guess I would have loved to see Javier Fortuna against Devin Haney, but I think Fortuna might be fighting Jorge Linares. So I would have been happy to see Linares too, or even more so. So look, we have that fight. The zone schedule is starting to take shape. We had Eddie Hearn announced Usyk versus Chisora for Halloween in the UK, October 31st, yesterday. And then I'm also hearing that we're going to get, probably not finalized yet, but it's looking like Triple G finally on November 21st against Kamil Zeremeta. That is the target date right now. We also have a couple of other fights, Lance. You know, we talked about Ring City, the new promoter agnostic startup that's going to have fights on NBC Sports Network. Mm-hmm. And we now know the first two main events. Hearing from sources that their kickoff show, which is November 19th, that's a Thursday, is going to feature 130-pound puncher Oshaki Foster against Mexican brawler Miguel Mickey Roman.
Wow.
I think that's a fun fight, right?
For sure. Yep.
Yeah.
You've got a great prospect and against a guy who's going to bring it. I mean, this is exactly what Ring City said they wanted to do.
Exactly. So I like that, you know. And then the second show I like even more, that's going to be December 3rd. And both these shows are going to be outdoors on the grounds of Wildcard Boxing Club in Hollywood, California.
How cool is that?
That's right. I think it's really cool. Yeah, I like that a lot. Second card is going to be a 10-round main event between middleweight puncher Sergey Bowenchuk against Brandon Adams. Adams was the winner of the season 5 of The Contender, and we mentioned him earlier as one of Charlo's opponents last year. I think it was last year.
Yeah. They're doing exactly. Yeah, that's great. That's great. I mean, they're sticking to what they said that they were going to do, and I think that's exactly what you know, it will net them, I think, quality ratings, Mike, because if they can establish themselves as a forum for not only guys on their way up, but entertaining fights. I mean, this is a perfect recipe for what we need to see on something like NBC Sports.
Yeah, I like it. You know, like we mentioned earlier, ratings are tough to come by right now, especially in boxing, but they are at least adhering to their mission statement, like you said. And Bowenchuk is an excellent talent for people who haven't seen him. This guy has 17 KOs in 17 fights. Tom Loeffler, I know, is really high on him. Another fighter from the Eastern European bloc, comes straightforward, you know, a lot of punches, a lot of power. Brandon Adams is a tough customer. So yeah, can't wait for that. It's always welcome to have more boxing, right?
Absolutely. And it's good to see, Mike, that the Zone schedule is coming together. Like you said, great work on that. And, really appreciate you bringing that to the listeners today. Thanks again, everyone, for joining us on the latest episode of the Pug and Cop Boxing Show. We'll see you here next week as well.